By the Rosh Yeshiva, that'll be tomorrow. So, but it's more of a look at it as a sicha, have some structure for the day as we again stand here on our Rosh Chodesh Elul to talk about what is something we spoke a little bit about last night, but also a little bit about what we're supposed to be thinking about over the next month or so. Even before we get into it, there is a thought I like to mention in certain sichot at this time of year. There's a pasuk in Amos that tells us, Aryeh Yishag Mi Lo Yira. When the lion roars, who is not scared? Who is not awed? Aryeh Yishag Mi Lo Yira. And Dershei Rishumos, some of the Bali Machshava say, Aryeh is Rosh Tevas Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim. Some say it's Yom HaKippurim, some say it's Hoshana Rabbah, the hay, however you want to look at the yud and the hay. But Aryeh Yishag, when the lion roars, Elul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Hoshana Rabbah Mi Lo Yira, who is not in awe? Who is not in awe? And the mashal is as follows. It says, imagine, you know, come to Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, you get off the plane, or today you take a walk and you want to see the campus a little bit, and all of a sudden you go and you see a lion walking towards you. Like, well, I didn't know, I knew Karen Biavner was like out there, but like in the middle, you're like run away, you're great, run, what's going on here? And yet, if during Ben Azmanim you want to go to the safari, which I highly recommend, a little expensive, but if you want to go to the safari, you go there, the first place you go, I want to see the lions. It's like a certain level, quality of safari if there are lions there. And you run to see it, then you want to see it. It's an amazing. What's the difference? You see a lion here, you run away, and you're scared. You see a lion there, oh, it's amazing, I want to go see it. It depends if there's a mechitza, if there's a hefsek between me and the lion. If the lion's over there and I'm over here, it's not so scary. I'm good. You know, that's there and I'm here. But if there's no mechitza, if there's no hefsek, it's just me and the lion, that's a pretty awesome experience. Awesome in the full of awe, not the way that people use the word, but like the days of awe, awesome days. They are awesome, like we use it, but full of awe. But that's how we have to feel. Aryeh Yishag, when the lion roars, Mi Lo Yira, our job over the next 40 days is to break down the mechitzas. For us to feel no hefsek. It's not that Elul Rosh Yom Kippur over there and I'm over here. I have to feel one with it. I have to try to get the most out of these special days where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closest, more than any other days of the year. Dir Shu Hashem Bihi Matzah. So when we start the process, which we're starting today, the Aleph, Aryeh, Aleph. Let's try to figure out and think about some of the messages and some of the areas to work on in our Avodas Hashem over this time period. And the first Elul, if we think about it, the first Elul that there was goes back thousands of years to the first Elul in Jewish history. It wasn't Elul. Elul is a Persian word. You know, there are no date, month, date. There are no names of the months in the Torah. Yom Rishon, Yom Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaSheni. The months are Persian. A few of them creeped into Tanakh. We have Adar in Tanakh. Right? We have a few months, but they're Persian months. The Ramban in Parshas Bo talks about why we didn't make Hebrew names. Right? Why do we have Persian? Like days of the week, we don't have any. Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. But we accepted Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. Right? We have those months. But either way, going back to the first one, the year of Maimon Har Sinai. So if you remember, Rashi quoted 2 weeks ago in the Parsha. You have it in source number one. Rashi and Parshas for Akev. He goes through the math that we know Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai not for 40 days, but 40 times 3. He was really on Har Sinai for 120 days. Didn't eat, sleep, or drink. 120 days Moshe Rabbeinu was on there. Do the math. Shavuos, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up. Maimon Har Sinai, he goes up on the 7th or the 8th day of Sivan. It's not clear what day was Maimon Har Sinai. But either way, around there, 40 days later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Raid Maher, Saru, right? Your people have sinned. Moshe Rabbeinu goes down 40 days after Shavuos, which is Shavuos B'Tammuz. The 70th day of Tammuz, the first tragedy that happened on Shavuos B'Tammuz, the breaking of the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, breaks the Luchos. The next morning, 18th day of Tammuz, he wakes up and he goes up the mountain again to achieve forgiveness for Am Yisrael. And he davens and davens and davens, and he achieves forgiveness. 40 days later, he comes down on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, yesterday, and he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want to destroy you, forgive him. He goes to sleep the next morning. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I always wondered, he went to sleep that night. Did he think there was going to be any continuation of history? The language of Chazal, if you look in source number one, right after quoting this math, we're in the middle. Nimsu Kalim, by, let's start further earlier. Second line. Nibsu kolam b'chaf tes ba'av. Shu Allah b'shmon asar b'tamuz. Shabo b'yom nisraz ha-kadosh baruch hu l'Yisrael. V'amal ha-lo Moshe. P'sal l'cha shnei luchos. Asei odar bo'im yom. Nibsu kolam b'yom ha-kipur. Oh, where is it? No, I'm sorry. There's a chazah. Where is it? In the Torah. The one that the Torah quotes. The Torah quotes, and later on we'll see that the next morning, Rosh Chodesh Elul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, come up for the 40 days and to get to the second Luchos. Luchos, everybody needs more sheets. There are more sheets here. Luchos Shnios. Did Moshe Rabbeinu know there was going to be a second set of Luchos the night before? Either way, the next morning he wakes up, 40 days, he's on the mountain again. And after 120 days, it's Yom Kippur. And he comes down with the Luchos Shnios, which the Gemara tells us at the end of Maseches Tainis was an amazing, amazing holiday. Great holiday. It wasn't as great holidays as Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. So if we think about it for a moment, according to this Chazal, what's the essence, that first Elul, what was it about? B'nai Yisrael were already forgiven. We usually think of Elul as tshuva, as wipe away our sins. But didn't that happen already during the middle set? Moshe Rabbeinu went up. Don't destroy them. If I forgive them, okay, forgiven. That already happened before Elul. So what are the next 40 days about? So says Rashi, Nisratha Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael b'simcha. There's a certain level of ritzui, of simcha, of connection to what was. We were forgiven for our chait, but we didn't have the luchos anymore. Luchos Shnios only came after another 40 days. So what is it about Elul that brings us back? There's more sheets over here. Right? That brings us back to the way it was. The way it was. Right? That's what we want. We want to get back to that state. So what is it? What's our avoda during Elul? Right? We know the most famous of the Rashi Tevas, that of the many Rashi Tevas, Elul Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, the Pasuk in Shir HaShir that you have in source number 2. But what is it about Elul that we could work on? So if we think about a symbol of Elul, really, there's no simple. The Rambam does not quote Elul at all, which is fascinating. In Hilchos Tshuva, there's no mention of Elul. Why doesn't the Rambam mention it? Right? Chazal don't mention it. But the Rambam, the Minhagim started. There are certain Minhagim that we have that are very famous Minhagim that are not mentioned in Shas. Right? This is Minhagim and Elul. Right? Like we have the Tur. The Tur quotes from the Gaonim. So sometime after the Gemara, the Minhagim started. What we did this morning, that of course is the Shofar. So Shofar is Rosh Hashanah. But Shofar is also a symbol of Elul. If we would ask, what do we do during Elul? Okay, well, Davar Hashem Ori. Not as exciting. But Shofar. So the Torah already quotes that. So why do we blow Shofar during Elul? So we know the Torah quotes three different reasons, and that's what we're going to try to delve into a little bit deeper, you know, what the symbol and the message of those three reasons are for us during this time of year. So the Torah in source number 3 quotes the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, one of the earliest sources of the Tanoim, even before the Mishnah, the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. Baruch Chodesh Elul. If you have a Seder, like a half an hour Seder sometime during the day, that we want to do something, you know, outside of, it's not to say for Musar, but with a lot of Agadata of Chazal, a lot of the stories that Rashi quotes, fill in, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer is a fascinating limud. Fascinating limud. So says the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Baruch Chodesh Elul, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Alei Elai Ahara, come up to the mountain for a third time. Shaz Olo L'Kabu Luchos Achronos. If you're a shofar b'machane, they blew shofar. Why did they blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul today, thousands of years ago? Right, do the math. 2448, right? 5779 minus 2448. That's how many years ago it was, right? Olo lahar shelo yitu od achar avodas gelulim. Reason number one that we blew shofar today and it expanded for the rest of the month is that we don't miscalculate again, right? We messed up by the egel. We were off by a day, and that led to cheta egel. We don't want to miscalculate again, so they blew shofar. Today's day one. They didn't want anybody else that we don't want to mess up again. So today's day one, and from that the minhag expanded a blowing throughout the month. Nisalaboso shofar v'chulu. L'chach eskinu chazal sheitogam b'rosh chodesh elul b'chol shana v'shana. Question number one: what does that have to do with us? We blow, they blew. So why is the Torah quoting this halacha? We're not calculating again, are we? Miscalculate? Is there a message from the miscalculation that they did by Cheta Egel that applies to our lives that we're supposed to think about when we hear the shofar? First shot of the tour. Number two, V'kol HaChodesh, and the reason, a direct reason we buy the whole month, K'dei LaHazer Yisrael She'asu Tshuva. Okay? That's direct. Tshuva. Shenemar based on the Pasuk in Amos. Yimizka Shofar Ba'ir. And number three, La'arvev HaSatan. that great phrase that comes up at this time of year to confuse the Satan. A number of years ago, I gave a Shabbat Shuvah drasha about that concept. Maybe we'll touch on one point relating to Irbuv HaSatan. So, number one, not to miscalculate again. Number two, Shuva, which is the one that we most identify with, because when we hear the shofar, we're like, whoa, Rosh Hashanah is coming. Wow. And number three, Irbuv HaSatan. So let's go through each one of them a little deeper to try to gain some insights into our lives. We'll start with Shuva, then we'll do the miscalculation, then we'll get to the Irbuv HaSatan, and then we'll try to wrap it all together. There's a parallel in the Rambam. Maybe Rambams that you might be familiar with, but two different Rambams in two different contexts. But there's an obvious parallel when we see them in light of each other. Hilchos Shuva. Rabban Hilchos Shuva talks about shofar. It's fascinating. The Rambam does not say this in Hilchos Shofar. In Hilchos Shofar, the Rambam doesn't tell us any hashkafa behind the mitzvah of shofar. Shofar, lulav, sukkah, just tell me what the halach is. But in Hilchos Shuva, he relates to shofar. Only a few times in all of Mishneh Torah does the Rambam get into Tamei HaMitzvos. Probably counted on one, at most two hands. Mor Nevuchim, there's much to talk about Tamei HaMitzvos. But in Mishneh Torah, and especially, I might add, if it's not the last halacha of a sefer, sometimes the Rambam allows himself the last halacha of a sefer to get into Hashkafa and wax poetic. And, you know, you want to end with like a Dvar Musar. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he just ends. Most of the time he just ends with halacha. But it's very rare that in Mishneh Torah himself, he gets into Hashkafa behind the mitzvah. But here's one of the examples. Rambam Hilchos Shuva, source 4. Aval bishit kiyah shofar Rosh Hashanah gzeiras hakasuv. Even though, why do we blow shofar Rosh Hashanah? Because Hashem told us to. Remez yeshbo. There's a hint, there's a message. Klomar. Uru yesheinim yesheinaschem. Wake up, those who are sleeping. Sleepwalking through life. Tardim is a deeper sleep. Focus on your actions. Zichru barachem. Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elu ha-shochachim es ha-emes b'havli ha-zman. Those who forget the emes, the proper derech. V'shogim kol shnasam, our priorities. Kol shnasam behev ovarik, asher lo yov ol yatzil. The shofar is a gift. We have to recognize, imagine a life without moments to try to, you know, reconnect. I think of the mashal. Sometimes, like the computer gets frozen. Ever happens to you? I'm not a computer guy. You like press escape, still frozen. Like trying. You call your friend. What do I do? Control Alt Delete. That's like the saving. It's like turn it off and turn it on, and you hope it comes back on. Reset, reboot. It's a concept. Reboot. You get to start again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a reboot every year. Every month. Erev Yom Kippur Katan is a concept. But imagine a life where you just go. There's no designated time to stop and think how I'm doing. What am I focusing on? You know, am I doing what I want to do? Right, I had a colleague recently who says, he's a big tzaddik. Many big tzaddikim. He says, you know what he does every Elul? He goes out with his wife for lunch, and they meet, and they say, okay, how could I make your life easier this year? It's like, I wish I should do that, but we should all do that. But it's like, I'm like, wow. But it's Elul. Because he says, okay, this is a time to redirect and reboot. Start again. Sometimes, you know, sometimes in life, we're frozen. We're stuck. We feel like we're stuck. But we have to tell ourselves, no, I can reboot. Maybe that's why we have computers, to teach us that lesson. One of the reasons, right? The Chafetz Chaim said, why is there something called photography? He wrote it. He writes it. So we can have a hasaga of what it means that after 120, we're going to have a picture of our life and video. He says he writes that. Everything in life has a message for us. So it's a chesed. The Rambam says, what's shofar about? The Rambam's talking about shofar and Rosh Hashanah. But maybe it's the same idea, we could extend it to the shofar of Elul. It's to wake us up. Wake us up. Hashochem es ha-emes, those who forget, right, who focus on other things. V'yazov, kolechem, mekem, darko, arav, v'chulu. There's a parallel Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah. This is the last Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah. The Rambam puts Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah together, but the last halacha, in which he talks about Mezuzah, look at his lashon. Chayev Adam Lizar b'mezuzah b'bnei shechov asakol tamid. It's a chiyev that exists always. V'chozman sheyikarnes v'yetze. Whenever we transition from a door, inside, outside, outside, inside, v'yetze, yifka v'yichad Hashem shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second is no, it doesn't say you have to kiss the mezuzah. You have to focus on it. There's a big gaon. He was a Rebbe in YU for over 50 years, Reb Dov Lipschitz, the Suvalka Rav, the Talmud of Reb Shimon Shkup. So I remember him. When I was in high school, so I used to see him. We walked through a doorway. He always walked slowly. He would just look at the mezuzah, like focus. I'm like, wow. He look and he walk in. Sure, he's thinking about this Rambam. Right? It's a reminder to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yeir mishenaso v'shkiyosof b'havli hazman. Where have we heard that lashon before? Right, the previous lashon, havli hazman, the same lashon. V'yadua. She'ein davar ha'omeil olam l'omei olamim elidir sur olamim. One of the greatest lines of all of Mishnah Torah. I mean, every line is great. But this is like, there's nothing that lasts forever except connection to Hashem. That's the only thing that's eternal in life. Our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what we think about when we see the mezuzah. Umiyad, and if we think about that, chozer l'daito. So it's a parallel lashon. It's clearly, if you put source 4 and 5 together, say, wake up! The mezuzah tells us to wake up. The shofar tells us to wake up. Stop sleepwalking through life. So it's a parallel to these two, the shofar and the mezuzah. But if we think about it, maybe it's even a little deeper. It's not just a parallel, it's an identification. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah, and maybe we're extending, the shofar of Elul is the mezuzah of the year. And just like before we go into a room, we look at the mezuzah. We're supposed to look at the mezuzah and get the message. And that mezuzah guards what's inside and guards us. Chazal have created a minhag that puts a mezuzah on the year. We're going from space to time. Elul is the mezuzah of the year. We are now in the mezuzah of Tavshin Peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to focus. It's the exact same lashon the Rambam uses. To wake up, may havli azman mishki Yosef. So it's not just a parallel. It's an identification. It's going to be shomer us. And then the Torah writes, if you have a wide doorway, you put the mezuzah furthest place out. Right, like over here. This is a wide door. Okay, this is in. It should be a little more out. Maybe they didn't do it because of the door. But if there's a wide doorway, you know, in camp we have this huge doorway, you put it towards the outside because it should guard everything that's further in. That's what Elul does. You know what Chazal did for us? Chazal took the last year of the month, last month of the year, and turned it into the first month of the year. Elul's the last month. This is the last month of Tavshin Ayin Tes. But we look at it as a beginning. We look at it as, no, the year starts. Tavshin Elul. Aleph Elul. Because it's the mezuzah of the year. So it's not just a parallel, it's an identification between the two. And maybe one step further. And this is all within, number one of the tour of La'or V'tshuva. Shofar is to be Ma'oras for Tshuva, to remember that this is, before we go into the room, we have to get the message of the mezuzah. Before we go into the year, we have to get the message of Elul. How do we do this? How does the mezuzah do it? The mezuzah makes sure that before you step foot in, you're protected. There are gemaras about mezuzah, unkelus. But let's think about our avodin Elul tool. Pasuk tells us in Bereishis, bottom source 7.
I will put, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Nachash, I will put hatred between you and the Nachash, between you and human beings, Bein Zarach Bein Zara, who Yishuv Charosh? Says Hashem to the Nachash, he, humankind, will crush your head. Hu Yishuv Charosh? V'yatata Shufanu Akev. So what's the message of that? What does that mean? He will crush your head. So says the Klei Yakar, one of the great Darshanim from Prague. He was the chief rabbi in Prague after the Maharal. Right, the Prague was zoche to many great chief rabbis. Right, the Maharal, the Shlok, the Klei Yakar, the Shlok HaKadosh, then the Yehuda 200 years later. Prague was zoche. Says the Klei Yakar, Hu Yishuv Charosh is giving us the secret to how to conquer the Yetzirah and all of our challenges and all of our difficulties, and each one of us have different areas that we need to work on, saying brachos with kavana, having more patience, having more, not getting angry. You know, there's so many different, we all know. Says the Klal Yakar, I'll tell you the secret. Tu yishuv harosh. Rov mefarshim amru, source 8. Shayetzara Moshe kocho and anachash akadmoni. Vayetzahara doma betchila loshchut shal akabish. Most many say, says the Klal Yakar, the nachash symbolizes the Yetzirah. And when the Yetzirah starts with us, it's like chut shal akabish, a spider web. It's thin. It's very thin. You ever walk into a spider web? Sometimes you walk, you're like, all of a sudden, like, you take it off. It's very easy. You take it off. It's a little sticky and gross, but it's very easy to remove. But, v'acharkach lavosos hagala, you ever walk into a very strong rope? Like, oh, doesn't move. The Yetzirah starts off very thin. If you give him a Pesach, if we give him a little in, right, let's say the door is closed. Yeah, you're holding somebody outside the door. But then somebody gets it open. They put their foot in the door. And now you're trying to close it. You can't. And they have much more of a wedge once they get their foot in. Says the Klal Yakar, the way that we do things in life is hu yishuv harosh. If we start off strong, the way is to not let it, even get a foothold. And that's what Elul's about, because I spoke about it a little bit in my shul yesterday. You know, even if we happen to be in the school settings, this is really a beginning of a year. But even those people who are working 12 months a year, it always feels like the beginning of the year, September time, Elul time. It feels like we have all these plans, what we want to do this year. Elul is about making sure that we start off strong before the year comes. That's the point of the mezuzah, to be shomer before you go in. And that's the way to be successful. Once we get into the bad habits, once we get into, not being so medactic about this, or it just snowballs. Hu yishuv harosh, he, the human being, will crush your head. That's the secret. I heard an amazing thought last week on a phrase that all of us know. It's a psikta zudrasa. It's the only place I found it. Source 9. Kalas chalas kashos. All beginnings are difficult. Kalas chalas kashos. That phrase, I heard this from one of the rebbes, I don't remember who. That phrase is the challenge and the solution in the same phrase. Kalas chalas kashos, all beginnings are hard. How do you succeed? Kalas chalas kashos, be strong, be hard, be stiff, be stubborn and action in doing what you want to do, and then you'll succeed. The haschala is kasha, but the way to succeed in the haschala is for you to be kasha, for us to be kasha. For us to not to give in. And I know it's challenging, and I know it's hard, I know we're tired, and we're getting used to the new situation. My son this morning, one of my kids is starting high school, so I give him a bracha this morning. I'm like, it's gonna be challenging, but you know what? Chalas chalas kashas, but you be kasha. You be strong. You can do it. Rosters don't have so much height, but we could be big, and we could be, you could. I'm like, but it's like nerve-wracking, but any new beginning. But the way to succeed is hu yishuv harosh. Be a mezuzah before you get there. Have that shmira. One idea. That's maybe l'or b'tshuva, what we can think about when we hear the shofar. We hear what Elul's about, and we remember the Rambam and Hilchas Mezuzah and Hilchas Shuva that connect the two to wake up from what we, whatever. Hopefully we did great things over the summer, but we can't always know. We have to start off strong in order for the rest of it to be. For the rest of it to be strong. Rav Zev, we're not going to read it right now, but I gave it to you. You can look at it afterwards. Rav Zev in Source 11 discusses how the stronger we start, the more effect that it could be for the rest of the year. If we don't start off strong, then we don't have any hope. One time, many of you might not know Marosh HaKolel or YU, Rabbi Yitzchak Kohn, the great Bali Musser of our day. So I remember one year I davened with him Yom Kippur. In the YU based measures. And I went to him after, he was my ninth grade Rebbe. So I went, I said, Rebbe, how was your Yom Kippur? He says, I can't tell you how my Yom Kippur was now. Ask me in July how my Yom Kippur was. I can't tell you right now. What? I'm going to tell you right now how my Yom Kippur was? Ask me in July how my Yom Kippur was. I'm like, okay, I'll ask you in July. I'm not going to ask you in July. But because if you have a Rosh, if the Elul of Yom Kippur is strong, then it can last the whole year. And that's what El is about. Number one, La'or B'tshuva, to put a strong mezuzah on our door. Number one. Number two, second idea the Torah said, not to miscalculate again. Not to miscalculate with the Egel, and we ask, what does that have to do with us? So they miscalculated, and they were off by one. Let's remember how they were off by one. Let's remember for a moment. Source 12. Rashi tells us in Parshas Kisisa, Ki boshesh Moshe, ki targum olashen yichur. Moshe was late. They didn't wait. Parenthetically, so many averis in Tanakh happened because of a lack of patience. Over and over again. We go through almost all. Even Adam and Chava could be related. Shaul HaMelech. Many of the stories. Patience is huge. And this one, right? They didn't wait. What happened? Kishala Moshe Lahar, second line. Amar Lam L'Sov Arba Yom Ani Ba. B'toch She Shos. I'm coming back in 40 days. Okay? I'm here. I'm going to come. Kisvurim Haim. She'oso Yom. She'olam and Aminyanu. They thought that Moshe said, I'm coming back in 40 days. Okay, start the clock. This is day one. So they started counting day one, that day. But Chazal tell us Moshe didn't mean that. No, tonight's day one. Tomorrow's day one. Don't count today. The day already started. We know in Halach and Yadus, Hayom Halach Acharon Laila. Right? Tonight is Beis Elul, which is connected to tomorrow. If somebody has yard site, Rachman al-Islam, it starts at night. Except in Kachim, which is an exception. But generally, Yom Holach Achar Alayla. So that was the mistake. That was the miscalculation. B'nai Yisrael started that day. It was supposed to start the next day because it wasn't a full day. What's the message of that? Of that mistake? And the Torah says, we blow shofar so we don't make that mistake again. What's the message of that mistake? There's a beautiful thought quoted. Some of you are from London, Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein. Now lives in Yerushalayim. His father, Isaac Bernstein, Zichrono Levracha, used to give a big parsha shiur in Ner Yisrael for many years. I remember growing up, I heard them on tapes. You know, I got the tapes. But Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein quotes from his father in the name of Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer. So I have his farm. I didn't find it in his farm. He was the last rav in Krakow before World War II. Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer, he has drushes, he has chidushim, he has shuvas. Rav Yosef Nechemia. So Rabbi Nechemia says the following idea in source number 13. What's the message that in the non-Jewish world, the day comes before the night? And in Yahadus, the night comes before the day. There's obviously a symbolism. Everything has symbolic nature. The Chazam Sofer writes in a different place. Why is it that Judaism has the day of rest at the end of the week? And, right, we have Shabbos, and then the Goyim have the day of rest at the beginning of the week. Right, Sunday, nowadays, like Saturday and Sunday are both days. But even 100 years ago, everybody worked on Saturday. There's only one day. Sunday. Sunday's the beginning of the week. So Chazam Sofer talks about that, not for now. But day, night, day, what's the difference? Says Rav Yosef Nechemia Kornitzer, do you focus on a physical existence or on a spiritual existence? Because if we focus on the physical existence, basically when we're younger, we're more robust, we're stronger, and as we go through life, our bodies don't go up. Let's leave it at that. 50s, 60s, 70s, we're not getting stronger in our physical state. But in Ruchnius, it's exactly the opposite. In Ruchnius, when we're young, we might think we know everything. But really, the older we get, the more of life experiences we have, we're obviously stronger. Skip Rabbi Bernstein for a second. That's the last mission. If you ever made a siyum on Mishnayos Kachim, the last mission in Kachim, Maseches Kinim, source 14. Rav Shimon ben Akashi Omer, Ziknei Am Haaretz, Kol Zman Shemaskina, Daita Mitarefetz Aleihem. The elders, the Kinim of Amei Haaretz, the older they get, they go crazy. Rachmana Litzlan, sometime retirement for certain people is the first step towards the end. Like, what do you do when you retire? Like, how many games of golf can you play? Right? If you retire, and when we retire, we say, I'm going to learn half the day, and I'm going to do chesed, and I'm going to spend time with my... Right? Ziknei Torah Einan came. The older they get, they go beyond. It's like, it develops more. So, in the physical realm, life, as we get older, is going down. In the spiritual realm, it's going up. Again, the more we know, the more we don't know. I've quoted in the past, the Baal HaMar is an unbelievable quote. Rabbeinu Yonah, at the end of Pirkei Avos, quotes the Baal HaMar. Lo yadati sheyadati, ad sheyadati shelo yadati. Again, lo yadati sheyadati, ad sheyadati shelo yadati. I didn't realize I knew something until I realized that I really don't know so much. If I think I know everything, I probably don't know too much. Lo yadati sheyadati, ad sheyadati shelo yadati. Let's just get back. What does this have to do with us? Says Rav Yosef Nechemia, night and then day. Night symbolizes darkness and loneliness and difficulties, while day is bright and happy and strong. So what do you focus on in life? The Umos Olam have day and then night, because it's a physical existence, and therefore day, which symbolizes strength and brightness, and dark and night afterwards, because their focus is the physical body. We focus on Ruchniyah, so it's night and then day. We get stronger as we get older. We look at people who have life experiences and have Torah under their belts, and that's something that is the way the Yadus looks at things. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us at Har Sinai. You have to count the night first. We messed up. We weren't used to that. We were in Mitzrayim. We didn't realize that. That was the message of the miscalculation. And when we blow shofar, maybe the message is every year, make sure our priorities are straight. Make sure we're focusing on the spiritual existence of our lives. Obviously, the physical is important. I mean, Kamach in Torah. But we must recognize, we live a day, our existence is night-day, not day-night. And maybe that's a deeper idea of making sure that the miscalculation doesn't happen again. There was a hand up? You want to ask something? No? Okay. Number two. And finally, the third and final one. I'm going to finish in 5 minutes. The third and final idea. La'arbe v'sasatan. We spoke about tshuva, which is about the mezuzah. This month is the mezuzah. We spoke about miscalculating. And number three now, la'arbe v'sasatan. So there are many different ideas about this concept. Maybe one idea. One idea. There is a Meshech Chachma. Rav Meir Simcha, source 15. Rav Meir Simcha from Dvinsk has an insightful comment about Torah. There are a number of Gemaras in Shas where the Malachim are jealous of Torah. They want to learn Torah. The Malachim are learning Torah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's even a Gemara in Bamitzia that the Malachim were arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu about a certain detail of Hilchas Saras. The Malachim learned Torah. And they didn't want the Torah to go to human beings. The Gemara in Shabbos, right, they wanted to keep it to themselves. Says the Meshech Chachma, you never find the concept of tefillah when it comes to malachim. Only Torah. Shira is by malachim, but Shira, Torah is called the Shira. Torah and Shira could exist by malachim. Tefillah can't. Tefillah is specifically human. Because what is tefillah? Tefillah reflects a lack. It reflects dependence. I can't daven if I think I have everything. If I think I'm God's gift to the world, well, gift to the world, leaving out God for now, but if I think that I'm the man, then I'm not going to be able to daven properly. Davening is all about recognizing that I need Hashem, that I can't do it alone, that I'm missing something, I'm lacking something. Angels don't have that. Angels are built in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. They don't grow. They don't like have a bad day or a good. They're there. They could connect to Torah, says the Meshech Chachma, but we never find that the Malachim connect to Tefillah. They don't daven. They sing. That's different. Tefillah is a unique weapon that human beings have to use in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Malachim don't have that. The Malachim also serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they don't have the power of Tefillah. Says Rav Gedalia Shor in the Ar Gedalia, in Surah 16, Elul is a month of ribui tefillah. What do we do in Elul? More different than the rest of the year. We try to do everything better. But ribui tefillah. Right? Sfardim started saying slichas today. Right? If you want to eat kidneys on Pesach, you got to get slichas for a month. Right? So they started saying slichas. It's already a month. A month. But either way, it's defined. Even the Rambam quotes during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, ribui tefillah. Right? That's what the month's about. We add on davening. Even at the expense of Torah sometimes. Remember years ago, I got a call from a Talmud who had a chavrus every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. Before, amazing. 5 o'clock in the morning, and then he davened at 6, and he went to work. And he said, Rebbe, what should I do? If I could I say slichas at 10 p.m.? because if I say slichas in the morning, I'm going to lose out some of my chavrusa. I said, you can't say slichas at 10 p.m. It's very bad. Midas Hadin, you know, the poskim are all against it. But I said, so you say slichas. The poskim say, ribui tefila overpowers Torah at this time of year. That's the essence of this time period. So maybe on a deeper level, another idea of la'arbi of esasatan is we're confusing the satan, who is a malach, and all of his henchmen, because we're using a power that they don't have. Shofar itself is a form of tefillah. We can't get into that right now. But shofar, there are many rayas. Blowing shofar, ribui tefillah in this month, that confuses the satan and his henchmen and upper door downstairs, because as the Meshech Chachma says, it's a uniquely human weapon. It's something that only we have. Animals don't have it. Angels don't have it. Only we have it. La'arbi v'sasata. So just to summarize, if we think about the three reasons that the Torah gave of shofar during Elul, number one, tshuva. Number two, miscalculation again by the Egel. Number three, la'arbi v'sasata. So maybe we have a little more to think about. Right? In order to be able to fulfill Arya Yishak, Milo Yira. Right? We're fear, and we're in awe of the lion. There's no mechitzas. We want to break down those mechitzas. That's the goal of what we're trying to do. But number one, we should think about the parallel of the Rambam between Hilchos Mezuzah and Hilchos Shofar. Elul is the mezuzah of the year. And we have to start off strong like the Klei Yakar, right? Hu Yishevchen Rosh, right? We have to step on the head. We have to start off strong. Number two, miscalculation, to make sure our priorities are in the right sense. We live a night-day existence, not a day-night existence, like Rabbi Yosef Nechemiah said. And number three, La'arbi v'sasatan, we have to make sure our tefillah is as it should be. We have plans. We have ratzon to perfect our tefillah. Bez Hashem, we can be focused on our priorities, on tefillah, on Torah. In this month of growth, in this month where it's easier this month than the rest of the year, because I'll say, Dir Shu Hashem b'imatzo, the more we can focus on it during this month, we should all be zochet to grow together and to be able to fulfill all of our potential, setting the stage, giving a big kiss to the mezuzah of Tafshin Pei over the next month. Gary Davidson is here, but